Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Welcome to the new year, a brand new year, 2022. All new. You know what makes it new? You have never experienced this year ever before in your life. And so we've got new opportunities. We've got a new theme. Hey, we've got a new graphic. Did you just see it up on the screen? There it is. On the wall there, the new graphic about new fire. Did you hear it in the song, New Wine? You know, and making that having that new fire in our lives. So we can enter into the year 2022 with a renewed vision, with renewed energy, renewed power for the mission that God has given to us, for the realizing of that vision, that it becomes reality of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Simply, that's what it's going to be all about. Now, the years 2020 and 2021 were unusual years. Now, I don't have to tell you that. You already figured that out. It was a very unusual time, and we're still kind of in that, aren't we? But a lot of what we thought we might be doing got sidelined. In fact, there were times when we were not able to gather in the building here, and we were doing only online worship. It was regular, was replaced to that streaming, and now we use it as a supplement for people that are not able to be here. But gathering us all back together hasn't quite happened yet, has it? But God has been faithful in all of this. God has never, ever let us down. God is faithful. God is good all the time. God is good. And he is still in business of building his church, because the thing that Almighty God is up to in these last few remaining days of life as we know it on this earth, he is building a robust, strong, healthy church in order to lead the way as we come to that final end when Jesus comes again. And so that kind of a church is what he is actually after. You say, well, what's God doing in the world? Well, what God is doing actually has to do very much with us. And that is what 2022 is going to be all about. Now, we know times are rapidly changing. There are fewer people who participate in what we'd call organized religion. But you see, God isn't that interested in organized religion. He is interested in what he calls church, which is the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the people of God. It's more than an organization. It's an organism. And that's what he is busy doing, is forming us into his organism. Yes, God is still in business, and he has chosen everybody else. Guess who he's chosen to be the people to carry out his mission? Okay, look in the mirror, you'll see. So we can look forward to 2022 with a lot of eager expectation, bold enough to expect, and this is the title for today's message, Next Levels This Next Year. 2022 should be a year where people, God's people, experience brand new fire, the fire of the Spirit, in their personal relationship with God and in our relationship with each other in the family of God. And in addition to that, new fire for fulfilling our mission. And where does that fire come from? That fire is from the Holy Spirit. So that when we get to the end of 2022, we will be an increasingly vibrant church with our people renewed, growing in faith and service, and more people being brought into a relationship of faith in Jesus Christ and in the process of becoming disciples through the ministry of Ablaze Church, which is going to be carried out by, and I'm looking at people who is going to be carried out by, even if you see me on screen, yeah, you're going to be part of that. New fire that is fueled by faith in the word and promise of God. New fire that is ignited by the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of that new fire. Now, I want you to get this, because when the going gets challenging and the terrain is tough, we are not going to wimp out. The ablaze culture must be this, that when times get tougher, we get tougher because we've got a really tough God. You get it? We get tougher because there is a really tough God. And the culture of ablaze must be then that we draw closer to our Lord. And you see, the closer we all draw to the cross, guess where we're all going to be? Closer to each other. What a beautiful picture. I just love, God flashes that in my mind every once in a while. I want him to flash that into your minds as well. And then we move on and there isn't any retreating because he has promised to build his church. Now, if you're going to build something, you're going to have the right tools to do it. So God has not only promised to build his church, he's provided his church with something. Power, tools, the word, and his sacraments. The means through which we are built up in the faith, the means by which we are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or can even imagine. He does miracles and he tears down the devil's strongholds because we are not going to be victims in a disaster script. We are already through Christ overcomers. As a matter of fact, we do not move toward victory. We proceed from, we start from the point of victory when we have faith in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. And so we can move people forward. He can move people forward, actually, to next levels this next year. Now, even if you've slipped back a bit, and maybe we all have, I know I have, maybe gotten a little bit lazy about this whole thing of what God is up to through us and wants to do through us, you know, who hasn't been a little bit lazy? But let me tell you what we're going to do in January. In January, we're going to be challenging ablaze to next levels. Next levels in faith development, next levels in witness, next levels in giving, next levels in serving. Well, that's four. We already used up this week. No, there are five weekends this month. So, hey, and we get to have a potluck at the end, right, on Saturday night. So, along with that, we're going to be growing in fellowship, and we're going to be growing in worship. We will all be in a process of developing, and we'll be sharing. We'll be implementing new plans as pathways for fulfilling our mission here. Plus, here's the kicker. He sends the new fire. That's the Holy Spirit. And there's more than enough fire to accomplish everything that God wants to. And God is not telling us to do something and then he says, okay, I hope you guys can do it. You're on your own. But we are not on our own. Never try being church on your own. This does not work. Because we've got a huge God. He's got designs, and he's going to equip us with the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, again, to do far more abundantly than all that we even ask or imagine by the power that is at work within us. So we need to be continually renewing that fire, just like in Leviticus 6. Keep that fire burning. Read it at the beginning, okay? It says, fire shall be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. Now, there were two altars back in the days of the tabernacle. The first altar was in the outer court, and that was the altar of sacrifice, and that was the atoning sacrifice. The people would bring their sins. The priests would lay their hands upon the victim that was to be sacrificed. The sins would be passed then in, from the guilty to the innocent, who would then, as a picture of Christ and what he would do, you see. So what is he saying? Keep your eyes on Jesus all the time. That's how you keep that fire burning. The second fire, or the second altar where there was fire, was inside of the holy place. That was the altar of incense. That was to be kept burning all the time. What was that altar of incense all about? That was a picture of prayer, continually ascending. So you wanted to have you had to keep your eyes on the cross, and we have to keep our knees on the ground. So that's what it is for that new fire to be kept burning continually. So your question might be, now, well, what is 2022 going to look like? Well, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We might be in for some surprises, and I hope for a lot of really good surprises. By the end of 2022, there may be people sitting near you that have become your best friends, but you have never met yet. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, that fact is, that's what typically happens in churches. It's a beautiful thing. So let's touch on a few things that we expect to be happening. And we're going to talk about these four things in January, the next levels. Next weekend, we're going to be talking about faith development. We have a discipleship program called Cross Training. You've heard it often enough here. You're going to hear about it next week in a little more detail with information about what is being offered right now. I mean, and will be launched in 2022. And let me just read a couple of Bible verses for you. First of all, 2 Peter 3:18, which says, "But grow." This is not, by the way, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen." So this has to be a continuing, ongoing thing. Because what's happening is we're either growing or we don't just stand still. Do you? You ever try to just hold a bicycle? You know, you're riding and then you just stop and, you know, keep that balance. You ever try to do that? Probably even John Bush can't do it that long. Okay, so if you're not going forward, you're falling off. What do you think I mean by that? Well, there was a time when the doctor said you got to go get the sleep test because we think you've got sleep apnea, and so I went and took the test, and then they put that, you know, that thing on your face. You know, you wonder, why do I seem to have these marks on me? You know, that's from that mask, all right? And so I thought, hey, this is just some kind of a medical fad. You know, what is it, the malady of the month or something like that, so they can stiff the insurance companies. And I began to realize this is real. But I was complaining to a nurse, and she said, "Hey, Reverend, let me explain it to you. You're either breathing or you're dying." Oh, okay. Well, I guess I better wear that mask. I don't want to be dying because, you know, everything else would be kind of going and degrading. Now, another, the other Bible verse that I said I would share with you is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and it goes like this. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." You know, it's so fun to take a little infant, you know, take a bottle, you're going to feed it, you know, and you just kind of touch it someplace, and they, you know, they just go for it. They want to get a hold of that. They want to be fed. This is, if that baby is that eager to be fed, are you eager to be fed with the Word of God, this pure spiritual milk? Okay, that's next weekend. Next weekend after that, the third weekend of the month, is on witness. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit," and that's the fire, okay, the fire, that's the igniting, "comes on you," and what's going to happen? Here's the outcome. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We're going to talk about simple ways of sharing your faith. You got something in the mail the other day. This is from Connie's sister. Now, she'd claimed that she was a non-believer and an atheist, and she was sick and tired of all that church stuff. And you still believe in all those crazy stories about, you know, Adam and Eve and all that. Well, anyway, that wasn't the final word. God had the final word. And so for quite a few years, she has been following the Lord, you know. And I say, "Lord, make me at least as fanatic as she is." And in her Christmas card, you know, she sent, this is a little thing about, you know, salvation, about a lady who dropped something in the grocery store, and she was, and it spilled all over, and she was so embarrassed, and she's trying to pick up her own mess. And then finally, and people try to help her, and then the manager of the store came, and he says, "Just leave it there. No problem. We will clean up the mess." She says, "Well, can I pay you for it?" She says, "No, we have insurance for this, and it's already been paid up." And then she went, "Okay, can you make a gospel presentation out of that? Can you figure out how that?" That's what she did. And because she wanted more people to know what she was denying for a bunch of years in her life, and then she was given that wonderful discovery. But that Holy Spirit who gives the fire for this. Now, John the Baptist, he said that when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, which is really, you know, they overlap, the Spirit and the fire, kind of in the same category. And this is where God's story and your story intersect. That happened when you came to faith. And then where you see other people's, you can intersect God's story into the story of other people's lives. And there's always some place that that can be done. I'm going to share with you some experiences that we have had of where it was just so normal, so natural, you know, like next door neighbor. And then she became a catalyst reaching other people. And it's really an amazing thing. It's not the scary kind of thing. And we're going to be sharing again some more of what we call no place left. How do we share in a very simple way, uncomplicated way, when God gives us the opportunity? It's like, okay, you're called to the witness stand. What are you going to do? You don't have to convince anybody when you're the witness, do you? No, you just tell what it is that you know. And there will be all those kind of questions there that people will bring. So someone might ask you, oh, does your church have an evangelism program? And your answer, the correct answer is no. We are an evangelism program. A big difference. We are an evangelism program. To reach as many of the unreached as we can, spiritually homeless people, unchurched, underchurched, never churched, formerly churched, etc. Now, people are not so much interested, as it, you know, about being part of organized religion. People are not banging our doors saying, hey, can I join your organization? But you know what people are looking for? Look at the screen. Identity, community, and meaning. Boy, we can show them. Identity, community, meaning. And then over off to the right on that, just to use some of the letter P so you can remember it, person, people, and purpose. You know, identity, yeah, what's your person? Community, you know, being a people. And then the meaning, yeah, what is my purpose in life? Why in the world do I even exist? People are searching for that. They're not searching for another club to join or an organization. So we need to be out there looking for what it is that people want. Okay, as I said before, they're not looking for organized religion, but Christianity is, the church is a body. It is the bride of Christ. It is the community of God's people. Okay, we've got two more weekends to go. We've got the fourth weekend, which is going to be about giving. Now, I'm just going to say this, that a generous church is a happy and a growing church, a healthy church. A church that is not generous will always have conflict, and it will always looking for who's to blame for what's going wrong. And you know what? That kind of an atmosphere in a church is a killer. No one wants to even invite anybody to come into a church where that kind of is the culture. So we're not going to be that way. We have dreams, we have visions to fulfill, ministry expansion. In a number of years from now, we probably need to be worshiping in another space which hasn't yet been built. Whoa, because God's going to be, if he's going to be entrusting us with more people and is preparing us now to build them up and disciple them, that's going to be quite an amazing thing. The last weekend of the month would be on serving. Serving each other and serving the Lord, serving our community, serving the institution within the walls and outside of, beyond the walls. I know some of you volunteer your time in various ways and places. You see that thing about First Baptist North Tulsa and the Fridays and giving away groceries? People from Ablaze go there and help. And are part of that. Remember when we were doing, when Pam was doing this Guitars for God, and she was serving at the you know, the boys' home, and just acquainting them with something that was productive and was a bridge to lead them to know Jesus. Care Portal, We're just launching it. It's going to take us a little while to kind of catch how that whole thing works, but that's going to be a major part of what we do outside of our own walls. And then I'm going to just talk very briefly about worship and fellowship. Worship and fellowship, we can go to Hebrews 10, verse 25, where he says about not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day, you know, when Jesus comes back again. I mean, the time is getting short, that day drawing near. Corporate worship, yeah, personal, individual worship, your quiet time with God, essential. So if you got enough of that, you don't need corporate worship, right? You don't need to gather? Oh, yes, you do. Because that's how the Bible portrays it. So I'm getting along just fine. You know, Jesus and I, we're close. I don't need the fellowship. Oh, yes, you do. And the fellowship needs you. Ooh. Well, in the corporate worship, God comes to us, you see. That's the first action of worship. It's not that, okay, now we're coming to him. No, he first comes to us. He serves us. We call it a service. He serves us with his word and his sacraments, and these are the means by which he has promised that he would engage with, that he would meet with, and build up his people. And so that's a focal point, and then we respond. Okay, so it comes down, it reflects back up, and then it goes out that way. Those are the actions that are involved with worship. Now, pre-COVID, on a weekend, we were averaging around, coming up to averaging 115 and a little bit above every weekend. That was really great. And then COVID hit. We have never gotten back to that. We kind of, on a good weekend, we hit about 70. So, in the meantime, what we need to be doing is praying so that when everything opens up again, everybody feels safe, that this place is packed with worshipers. You've noticed the difference, that when the place is really full, there is a certain kind of an energy. And why is that? Because the Spirit in you touches the Spirit in you, touches the Spirit in you, and, you know, and it's going all around, and it's a vibrant kind of a thing. It's a robust thing. As the Word of God touches your heart, builds your faith, you rejoice. Something inside of you just kind of reaches out to someone else. We build each other up. It's a great, great, wonderful thing. And the fellowship is where we do life together, sharing one another's lives, bearing one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ, being like in Acts chapter 2, which talked about fellowship, or the Greek word, we'll use it from time to time, you've heard it before, koinonia, yeah, having it together in common, you know, whether it's a Friday or Saturday potluck, a great idea came along, which we're going to try to implement as soon as we feel safe in doing that. Call it dinners for seven. You know, seven people from Ablaze getting together. Why an odd number? Well, so we've got singles who are just as important as doubles in the family of God here. So we have to make that space, you know, just in very intentional, because you know, it's so easy to kind of forget about the singles who are so many of them, you know, just serving the Lord with their total heart. And this is going to be leading into more spontaneous kinds of things as people get together. In February, if we're allowed to do it with COVID, we're going to do a gathering together and renewing our vision, spending about a half a day on a Saturday. The date isn't set yet. We're just kind of waiting for the thing to kind of slip down. And you might remember when we did a thing that we called Founders Day. We had a great time together. And we just said, what are we up to? What's Ablaze all about? Who's willing to step forward and be part of what Jesus is doing in his world today? And in March, there is planned, and the date is set, going to be over at Luther Home, a great women's retreat. The program is already in place. Leadership is there. It's going to be ready to go. So, learning to put God's priority as the priority in our own agendas, and kind of frankly, folks, you need to know this. Church, when we do it God's way, You know that it's kind of intrusive? You know what? You can't just keep the same old schedule and the same old priorities that you did before. Once you start getting serious about what God is serious about and what He is actually working at to bring to a conclusion life on this earth as we know it. And so He's wanting to use us, and He wants to build a strong, healthy, robust, effective church. He doesn't want Ablaze to be left out of that either. Next levels, this next year, you think we can do it? I think we've got a huge God. And I think that if a heart is open and says, Lord, feel free to use me in more than an advisory capacity, He can do great things. I believe He can do it.